again, happy, happy, happy New Year. I really sincerely hope that 2018 is a really good year for you. I'm convinced a lot of it has to do with attitude. So I'd invite you to start out by saying, yeah, I'm going to have an awesome New Year. Thanks, Pastor Ron. it's here, ready or not. And talk about New Year, new series. And the series for January and 1 week into February is called Open Doors. Open Doors. And if you were here for the kids' story, you know that I referenced a certain game that has a premise about doors. And that game is obviously Let's Make a Deal. Any of you would admit to watching that and kind of getting into it? Okay, we have some Let's Make a Dealers here. All right. I really don't watch a lot of game shows, but I did a little research on this. And some of us are old enough, that would be me, to remember the name Monty Hall. George, you and I, buddy. Monty Hall was the creator and longtime host of Let's Make a Deal. And today, Monty Hall is actually no longer with us, but the new host of Let's Make a Deal is Wayne Brady. And he is one funny guy, very talented guy. The format of Let's Make a Deal is kind of crazy. And I don't know when it actually started, but people started wearing these outlandish outfits, these crazy costumes, with the idea the crazier they looked, it maybe gave them an advantage to be called on to be a contestant. And you never know what you're going to see there that people have as far as their getup. And when chosen to be a contestant on Let's Make a Deal, the contestant was offered something of value, giving him or her the opportunity of keeping that, like we had one kid keep their 75 cents, and it turned out to be a good choice. Or they can trade that money in for something behind one of three doors. Now, this is an old-time picture of it, when the show first started with Monty Hall. And there was a phrase, a sentence, if you please, that was coined. Do you want door number one, door number two, or door number three? And so the contestants would have no clue what was behind those doors. And they would look at whatever they had been given. Usually it was a cash award. And they were thinking of the doors and what was behind those doors. And some of them were very conservative and would say, I'm keeping the money. And others' contests, what they would do is that they would trade it in for whatever was behind the door. And one of the things that could be behind the door, it gained the tag a zonk. Z-O-N-K. And a zonk could be an old towel. It could be a pumpkin. There was once a pumpkin behind one of the doors. And here, that looks, I'm not sure what that animal it is. It looks like a llama is what this person won as door number whatever it was opened up. But everyone wondered what was behind those three doors. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we talk about your doors, give us spiritual eyesight, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer, Lord. Speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Sprinkled throughout Scripture is the mention of a door. Doors. I mean, you can find it Old Testament, New Testament, throughout. It's one of the simplest, but one of the most meaningful illustrations in Scripture. A door. A door. In fact, Jesus once said, I am the door. I am the door. There's a passage, however, in the book of Revelation that is going to serve as the key, the foundation, the focal point of this five-part series on open doors. And it's the book of Revelation. Sometimes I hear people mistakenly call the last book of the Bible Revelations with an S. It's Revelation singular, and the full title actually is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. It's about Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there is comment that is made about seven churches. These were literal local churches in Asia Minor. And Jesus speaks through his servant John the Revelator and gives John messages to write down to each one of these churches. These churches were made up of human beings, so they weren't perfect. They had good points about them. They had weaknesses. They had deficiencies. They had both pluses and minuses. Listen to what God says to the church at Philadelphia. And we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. These are the words of Him who is holy and true. Who's that? Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter edition, you will have red words here. These are the words of Him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut. And what He shuts, no one can open. Reading on. I know your deeds. He's speaking to the church at Philadelphia. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I have placed before you an open door that no person can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. God says, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. Ladies and gentlemen, when God opens a door, when God opens a door, and I mean opens it, no person can shut that door. And conversely, when God closes a door, no person can open it. Now, what if I were to tell you that God has a wide open door for you in 2018? There's a door that's wide open waiting for you to walk through it. We have a little term that we use. When opportunity knocks, you've heard that. And the understood part that is missing is that when opportunity knocks, open the door, because it is opportunity. God has a wide open door for you and me in 2018. Now, similar to the game of let's make a deal, because of the doors, we don't know what's behind. And when I'm mentioning that God has a wide open door for you, you might be thinking, I'm feeling a little mystery. I wonder what is on the other side. What does God have on the other side of this open door for me? You may feel a little excited as you think, God has an open door for me? Cool. Wow. I would love to open the door when opportunity knocks. You might think, well, how do I know that this door is from God and not just part of something that I made up in my mind? And what if I walk through the wrong door? How do we discern whether God has opened this door or not? Is it just my own wishful thinking? And worse yet, could this door be opened by the forces of evil trying to fool me? I have two resources that I have used in the preparation of this series that have been a great help. First of all is John Ortberg, pastor and author. He has written some amazingly wonderful books that draw people closer to Jesus Christ. And he has a book that is entitled All the Places to Go, How Will You Know? And there's some material in there that just got my mind going. And the second resource is Pastor Rob King. And his speaking ministry has opened up some new thoughts for me. So I just wanted to give credit to those sources, appropriate credit. Now, I want to share a Bible story with you about an open door. And someone in this Bible story was able to successfully go through the open door and experience something on the other side that was really, really good. The name of this Bible character, well, his name is Abram. You know him better as Abraham. God gave Abram the name Abraham a little bit later. Abraham means father of a great multitude. So I'm going to be talking about Abram, but it's the same person as Abraham. Abram's father, had lived in a city called Ur. You are. Where do you live? So people would think that you were stuck at stuttering if you said that you came from Ur, you are. Well, Abraham's father lived there and had lived there for over 200 years. Talk about having roots there, their friends there, they knew all the shopping centers, they had their physicians there. It was home, sweet home, Ur. They were settled. But, however, God comes to Abraham with a very unsettling message. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a land that I am going to show you." Now, if I'm Abram, I'm saying, "What? Are you sure? I like it here in Ur. My family is here. It's comfortable. Are you sure that I have to leave?" God gave this very scary and vague command, leave your country. He didn't tell Abram, where he was going to go. He just said, leave, and I'll later show you where you're going to end up. Very scary. Now, Canaan was the land that Abram would end up in, and Canaan was everything that Ur was not. Ur was the greatest cultured city of that time. Canaan was not. If anyone had the finances to be able to live in Ur, they would never think for a moment of moving to Canaan. It would be like you and I choosing to move to nothing, Arizona. Now, there actually is a place in Arizona called Nothing. There is, seriously. It's a ghost town. It's in a very hot, dry, dusty area. Nobody lives there. It's called Nothing, Arizona. It's about 100 miles southwest of Phoenix, there in the desert. For us to decide to move there from this wonderful spot, that's kind of what Abram was asked to do, to move to Canaan from Ur. The walk through an open door means that sometimes we will have to leave something behind. Abram, I know you're in a place that's comfortable for you and your family, but I'm asking you to leave all familiarity and comfort. I will lead you to where you should go. Don't worry, just trust me, I'll tell you later. Just follow. Ooh. God went on to share with Abram the promised blessing that if he were to decide to walk through this open door and do things God's way, that God would definitely bless him. This is what God said. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Will be blessed through you. Now, when we walk through an open door, sometimes we have to leave something behind. Abram had to leave his father and family and all the things that were familiar and comfortable to him. And he decided to walk through that open door. This is what it says in verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left. Now, I'm getting older by the minute. You probably are shocked by that news, but guess what? So are you. And the older that we get, and it's happened to all of us, we like to have routines. I like my routine. I like to know where things are. I like to like things predictable. And it seems like the older that I get, my routine and comfort becomes a little more precious to me. Well, Abram was 75 years old, and he departed from his homeland, from everything that he knew, that he was comfortable with. And he walked through that open door, and he had no clue exactly what was on the other side. But he did it because he trusted God. He trusted God. Researcher Sheena Inhar discovered that the average person makes about 70 conscious decisions every day. Some more, some less. But the average person makes 70 conscious decisions every day. That would work out to 25,550 decisions that you and I will make in 2018, if we're part of the average. 25,550 decisions. Albert Camus, the noted author and philosopher, is quoted as saying, "Life is a sum of all our choices." Life is a sum of all our choices. And people who have studied the attitudes of successful entrepreneurs have found that they excel in something that is called opportunity alertness. Isn't that good? Opportunity alertness. Even though faced with similar circumstances as other people, those who are entrepreneurs seize opportunities and look at open door opportunities as something fantastic to discover. And they have opportunity alertness that most people don't. Now, you and I will have many open door opportunities for us in 2018. Let us be reminded that God's promise is that I have opened a door that no person can shut. No person can shut. God has placed an open door in front of us, and no one is able to shut that door. And as we look at some of the open door opportunities that we have before us this year, let's not get caught up in being worried that we don't have it all figured out and don't know all the details before we decide to walk through the open door. The only question that we should be asking, Lord, is this according to your will for my life? And if your will is in this open door, then I'm going to step through it, and I know that I won't have to do it alone. There's this wonderful passage in Exodus 33, just fantastic passage, where Moses is talking to God. And he's saying, God, I need your presence. I need you to be with me in my life. I want you to be right there by my side. For Moses had said, if you aren't going with us, don't let us move a step from this place. To do an open door entry God's way is to do it with God, because we know it is his will. And we never, ladies and gentlemen, we never have to walk through an open door. If it's God's will, we never have to walk through that open door all alone. God will go with us. And when it comes to the doors that Jesus opens, I'm convinced that God cherishes people who have faith and willingness to take that step forward and walk through that open door. Where God guides, God provides. Now, open doors can be downright frightening when you don't know what's on the other side. If God's will is in the door, and if we choose to walk through it, He will provide and bless us. Now, I want to give a personal testimony at this time about walking through an open door, about God's providing and blessing, even though I was clueless and scared what was on the other side. In the summer of 2014, Valerie and I, we were going through a big transition in our life. The door had closed in the church we were serving in. And we wondered what kind of open door would be in front of us. We had no clue what the future was going to be like. And I was reminded of this story as my wife did an excellent, she should probably be the one telling the story, but she was doing an excellent job of telling my son's girlfriend some of the details. And I was reminded as I heard her story, wow, okay, yeah, God is really good. To make a longer story shorter, for your benefit, we interviewed at this obscure place in California called McKinleyville. You heard of it? And we were offered the position to serve as your pastoral couple of this church. What were we going to do? We just wanted to do God's will. We wanted to walk through an open door. We didn't know what was on the other side. So we prayed about it a lot. Talked to each other about it. And really were convicted that God had called us here. We had no clue what the future would hold. Again, to make a longer story shorter, we loaded up the moving van in Placerville, California. And people were asking us on that end of things, so where are you moving to? You got a house? No. You got a rental? No. We didn't have it all figured out. Now, as a humorous side note, Kelly Kinsley was the head elder at that point in time, and we had asked him, since we hadn't come here yet, to make an announcement in church. I don't know if you remember it, but having heard the story, we'll never forget it. And Valerie had found a house. She's so good about scouring ads and stuff like this. And she found a place that had a three-car garage. And the reasoning was, it made sense to us, that we're going to have a lot of belongings to unload off the moving van. If we have a three-car garage, we can put those things in there that will buy us some time till we find a house that we want to buy. That was the reasoning. So Kelly gets up and announces to you, or whoever you were there that Sabbath, the pastor and his wife, the new pastor and his wife, want to know if any of you know about this certain rental or the street. What was it, B Street or C Street? B Street. And as he's saying, the pastor is thinking about moving to B Street. That's what was related to us. There are shrieks of horror that are going out from you guys. It's like, oh, B Street. That's a druggy area. It's terrible. No, we don't want a new pastor to move there. That's awful. So, that was a closed door. Thank you, God. So, we come here. We have our stuff in a moving van. We know the guy who drives the moving van, and he parks at the place, and we don't know how long our stuff is going to be there, and we land here in a motel, and we're gonna try to find some lodging. So, first day, we're out looking, and Valerie has found this apartment, It was awful. It's like, no way. We're going to live there. So we were kind of discouraged and we're going to follow up on something else. And right about then, Valerie's cell phone goes off. Hello, this is Justin, gentleman that lived here. Valerie, I parenthetically add, had tried to get a hold of this guy at least a month ahead of time, 6 weeks, and had called him over and over again and never heard from him. It was a rental possibility. And so we had kind of think, well, that's a closed door because he's not getting back with us. He's probably rented it. Right as we're driving around, discouraged, not knowing where we're going to live, maybe we're going to be homeless. Who knows? She gets a call. She gets a call from this guy and said, oh, I'm so sorry. I have the kind of work which I'm here for a month, and then I'm out of the country for a month, and I've just arrived back, and so I'm following up on your call. Just wanted to know if you're interested in renting my rental. And I think Valerie said, yes! Hold it for us. We'll be right over and check it out. And it was a very comfortable place. And the plan was to rent there for a while and have a home base. And then we would, you know, go with a realtor and look at some housing possibilities and then buy a home. And that's where we would end up. Well, that was good reasoning, but that wasn't God's plan. The owner, this Justin guy who we were renting the house, said, oh, by the way, I would like to sell this house. We said, well, how much can we afford it? And it was something that we felt like we could financially swing. See, we had gone out and looked at numerous houses, and we came back and said, the home looks pretty good, you know? See anything better. I think we kind of like the place we're in. And one big bonus is we don't have to move twice. Oh, yeah. So, it was easy cheesy. We purchased the house we were renting. The paperwork went easy. It was a breeze. And we are very comfortable. We're very happy in the place we're in. And God has blessed us. And we just feel like, oh my goodness, God opened up a home for us. But there was a time, ladies and gentlemen, that we had no clue where we were going to go. And I guess I tell you that story is that when God opens a door, don't fail to go through it just because you don't know what's on the other side. God will bless. He will open doors, and if we walk through those doors, we don't have to walk through alone. He will walk with us. And our response should be, to quote a song that we sang a few minutes ago, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. God places at least one, probably multiple, open doors before us this year. Opportunity alertness is what we need to cultivate. And sometimes to go through a door is a scary thing. It throws us out of our comfort zone. But God has promised to be faithful. And if it's a God door, and if He is in this, and it's His will, if we walk through it, He will not let us down. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for being such a faithful God. In our humanness, we doubt you. And we wonder if you're really going to come through. But your power is greater. And Lord, just increase our faith. We have faith, but increase it. Amen. Help us to trust you with our lives, Lord. Thank you for the open door that Jesus made possible. Thank you for the open doors that you have given us in our life. that we've walked through and the ones that we will walk through. Give us courage, Lord. Send your Spirit to give us conviction on the way in we should walk. Blessed be the name of the Lord.